Well, good morning. How you doing, Mount Joy family? It's good to see you this morning. Good to be back with you. And we're going to be looking at Philippians, part of Philippians chapter 4, where Paul seems like he's signing off. So many times Paul seems like he's signing off in his letter, but he just can't quit. And by the way, take care of this. And, you know, there's some stuff I left in the kitchen. You know, if you could move that around or someone just eat it before it gets green. And, you know, and these folks, could you tell them to get along a little bit? And, you know, do you ever feel that way when you're trying to wrap something up or you're leaving for vacation? So Paul's kind of writing back to them and he keeps adding little quibs and things there. But they're very important things that he adds there. And one of the things that he adds is, you know, Philippians is this book all about how to exhibit humility in the midst of adversity. That's what the whole theme of the book is about. And so at the end of it, he's coming back to this theme again. There's some adversity going on toward the church and even inside of the church. And how can we act with humility in that? And so he basically kind of says to them, whatever you feel like you're stuck in, pray about it. Whatever you feel like you're stuck in, pray about it. Good advice from the Apostle Paul. Whatever you feel like you're stuck in, pray about it. Do you ever have anything you got stuck in your eye and you couldn't get it out? I had a contact lens like that one time. You won't see me wearing my contacts that much, and you'll know why after I tell this story. I like to wear my contact lenses. I like to wear them, especially in the summertime, because you can just throw on a pair of sunglasses over top. But, you know, now I'm a bifocal, trifocal, trifectafocal, whatever I am, focal person. And so that just makes it even more it's just more difficult. But one of the things that's difficult is, although my eyes seem to not be bothered by contact lenses, for some reason, my left eye, contact lenses like to float around in there. They like to move around. And so I had a contact lens one time, got in there, moving around, circling around, go to the doctor. They think, oh, it must have fallen out, must have been out, and then it would show up again. You know, and it wouldn't bug me for a while, and it would show up again. And then a few days later, it'd show up again. And I thought, oh, it must have fallen out in my pillow. Now, you know, good, you know, or fallen out somewhere around. And then it would show up again. This thing just kept showing up again. And here's what would happen was it would throw off my focus. It would throw off my day. And it distracted me. It was a consistent and constant interval distraction. Because I would think it was gone. And it didn't bother me. I couldn't feel anything in there. And then all of a sudden, boom, it shows back up. And I'm like, whoa, you know, I got my glasses on. So I got a crazy, crazy prescription on this side and a right prescription on this side. And I can't see anything right. When we get stuck in certain things in our mind and our heart because we have anxiety about them, there are things that get stuck inside of us. And when we get stuck, we need to pray that thing out to God, whatever we're stuck in. We need to give it out and pray it out to God. And it helps to change the way that we think. So we're going to talk about this morning, that prayer can help us change the way we think when we climb into God's hammock and we give these things that we're kind of stuck on over to Him. So Paul says this kind of, it seems like a ludicrous thing, a crazy thing. He says, when you're in the middle of this stuck thing, when this is happening, you have a lot of anxiety, change the way you think, rejoice. Rejoice. When you're having a hard time, specifically here, he's talking about when you're stuck with somebody else, and we'll see this by the context. He says, rejoice. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. This is a very interesting verse of scripture that we have here. The backstory here is that Paul gives us some input just before this, that there's these two ladies in the church, Euodia and Synecdoche. And they were struggling to see eye to eye for some reason. At one time, they got along. They'd been great working together in ministry, been great partners with him. But they're struggling to get along now. And Paul says to them, you know, rejoice. When you can't get along with somebody else in the body of Christ, rejoice. Really? Boy, I must be a really good Christian because I don't get along with a lot of people. I don't know about you. I struggle sometimes getting along with people. So he's telling me to rejoice. Why is he telling us to rejoice? He's saying rejoice because it is an opportunity to treat somebody else the way that Christ treated you. And he says that we should treat them with gentleness. So the key here, the key to nurturing gratitude for one another, even people that we're not getting along with at the moment, is to be gentle toward one another. He uses a very specific word, and it seems odd and it seems strange to us, and it's a hard word to translate. It's not used a lot in the Greek New Testament, this word. And so it's a very hard word to translate from the Greek and into English. And so in his commentary on Philippians, William Barclay offers us some help with the concept of gentleness. What does it mean to be gentle? What does it mean to exhibit gentleness when you're kind of in this conflict, you're in this rub, you're in this thing that's stuck and it keeps coming up, it keeps coming around. The minute you think it's gone, it comes around again. He says this, gentleness is knowing how to relax justice and introduce mercy. Gentleness is saying to our brother and sister in Christ, I'm not going to hold you on this short leash of justice all the time. I'm going to let us have a little bit of space, and I'm going to extend to you some mercy right now. And in doing that, you're letting go of this thing where you feel stuck in anxiety that keeps messing up your vision. It keeps coming back up with somebody else in the body of Christ. Relaxing justice and introducing mercy. It's the chance to be like Jesus. What did Jesus do for us? He relaxed justice by introducing himself as the sacrifice and gave us mercy, right? Instead of what we deserved. He gave us salvation, regeneration, a new life, forgiveness of sins, the ability to forgive others. And he says, Paul is saying, rejoice when you have the opportunity to be like Jesus to somebody else around you, where you may have felt kind of stuck in the middle of that relationship and giving that over to God. Not long ago, I was involved in a text chat thing and a text group with a group of people. Nobody from the church here, okay? Just make that clear. Nobody from the church here. But it was a group of different people that I've known for a long period of time. And some stuff came up in the chat and some people were misunderstanding each other. And somebody kind of made a little snarky. How can you tell in a chat if it's really snarky or not, right? I mean, we should put this in parentheses. This is snarky. This is meant to be snarky, you know, we should kind of commentate on that. But everybody kind of knew, and what happened was, like, everybody went silent. You know how that happens? You know, for a couple of days, everything went silent. And the person that was a little bit snarky, they came back and apologized. It was kind of a powerful thing. They apologized, and then they posted the words and sent a link to this song called Mercy Now. And the refrain from this song is, all of us need a little mercy now. The gal in the song, she starts talking about her father who's dying. He needs some mercy now. Her brother who's in pain. He needs some mercy now. She talks about her country and her church. They need some mercy now. But the refrain comes back to, we all need a little mercy now, right? Just lean over to the person next to you and say, I sure could use some mercy right now. Just confess it. But what does it look like to relax justice and introduce some mercy to maybe some others this week? You know, I often think, you know, I listen to the words of the song. I haven't listened to the song again on the way down this morning. And I thought, oh man, I need some mercy now. And then the Holy Spirit kind of tapped me in the shoulder and said, but who are you going to give that mercy to this week? Right? So it's one thing to say, and Paul is saying, yeah, receive the mercy when somebody else gives it to you, but also extend it. Be as Christ to them and extend that mercy to them. The person who apologized and posted the song was as Christ to the rest of us. They were extending mercy to us. They were being vulnerable and open with us and helping us and giving us the ability to do that. In Ephesians 1:16, Paul says these words, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Let's read this out loud together. "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Prayer is powerful when you get into that hammock with God and you pray for somebody else who you might have felt a little bit of a skirmish or a difference with or whatever, and you're like, you know what, Lord, have mercy on them today. Bless them today. Be with them today. Give them a blessing today. And let go. Whatever is on your mind, let it go and give it to God in prayer, changing the way you think. So number two, changing the way you think, Paul says this, is not only rejoicing, but you need to request. You need to request. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So Paul tells us, if we're going to change the way we think, we need to start with rejoicing, because we get to be like Jesus and we get to extend mercy to other people. And then he tells us, but we have to make the request. If something is stuck in our mind and something is stuck in our vision and something is swirling around there and we can't get rid of it, it's a good indication that we're supposed to request God's help with what's on our mind and what's weighing us down. He kind of makes this absurd comment, rejoice in all things. And don't be anxious about anything. I don't know about you, but that's a tall order for me. When I read those kind of verses in the Bible, I feel like they must be for other people. Because I'm not sure I can do that. If that's what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, I'm not sure I can pull that off. Because I find myself, even as I'm getting older, having more things that I'm anxious about. I own more things, I know more people, I have more relationships. My father, in his dying days, I found one of his journals in the last couple weeks of his life. My dad died at age 63, relatively young, had cancer, and I found one of his journals, and in his journals, he was just writing out all the people that he knew and praying for them. And he was saying, he wrote in his journal, as I grow older and I see more things happening around me, it gives me more reasons to pray. Wow. I don't often look at it that way. I just look at it, these are more things for me to get worried about and upset about and tense about and, you know, not pray about. But Paul says right here, hey, whatever is swirling on your mind, present those requests to God. Get into God's hammock. Take that weight off of your shoulders and put it into God's hand. Rest in him. Request. Ask him. Ask him. And take these things and weight off your crumpled shoulders and put them into the capable hands of a God who can meet those needs and take care of those things. What's on your mind today? What's causing anxiety? Where do you feel stuck today? Pray about it. Wherever you feel stuck, pray. A few years ago, I read a great book that I keep returning back to it. I'm going to reread it this summer. I decided yesterday when I was just paging back through it. It's called Managing Leadership Anxiety is the name of the book. Managing Leadership Anxiety by a pastor named Steve Cuss. Now, can you imagine being Pastor Cuss? He actually has a website called cusswords.com. I think he just likes to play with that. He likes to play on that a little bit, have some fun with it. But in his book, he talks about these four different areas where anxiety exists. Anxiety within, anxiety with someone else, anxiety outside of you and another group of people. And he talks about this idea in the book of basically dealing with the anxiety within is the best place to start, and a lot of the only place where you really have any power to deal with it. And he said the reason that you want to deal with your anxiety is so you can be calm, you can be aware of what's going on around you, and you can be present in the moments of life with people and different groups of people and with yourself and with God. So being calm, aware, and present. And so I'm working on that, but as I get older, I've got more things I find to be anxious about, or more things that make me anxious, or more things that wake me up at night. And when I wake up at night, I finally go, okay, God, it's yours. You know, I've confessed that to you. I'm going to give this to you, God. I'm going to name it. It's yours. But in his book, he says this about anxiety, and I thought this is a powerful quote. He says that anxiety shrinks the power of the gospel because it presents a false gospel, one of self-reliance rather than reliance on God. Let's read this quote together. Anxiety shrinks the power of the gospel because it presents a false gospel, one of self-reliance rather than reliance on God. And the reason he says that is because when we get anxious and we start to close our hands and we start to, you know, worry about life and we're anxious and we're mulling this thing over and it's stuck in our mind and swirling around and we can't get it out and we're working on it, what we take it into our hands and we think that somehow if we worry on it and work on it long enough, we can make it different, right? But the gospel says that Jesus Christ can make it different and that we don't close our hands in anxiety. We open our hands and we give it to God and we climb into his hammock and we say, God, I can't do a blessed thing about this. I'm worried about it. My soul is shriveling up about it. I'm concerned about it. And so I'm lifting it off of my shoulders. I'm putting it in your hands again and again and again. Because I want the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to address this care, this worry, this concern, this anxiety in my life. And the gospel says that Jesus can do something about this, especially when I can't. And so, Jesus, I'm asking you to come and do something that I can't do through the power of your resurrected life in my life and the life of other people. You know, the number one thing that a church that's in pastoral transition, the number one thing that I can do is really, you know, I can help with sermon series. We did the peak assessment. You can see we're rolling out some things, and you'll see those over the coming weeks, like this class on how to understand how your church works is one of the things that's coming out of peak, and you'll see other things that are coming out of that peak process. And I can do all those kind of things, but the best thing I can give you is this honest, open appeal to rely on God in prayer. Don't try to do it yourself. Don't try to hire a new pastor. Join God as he's calling a new pastor to you. And he's calling you to the new pastor to work together in harmony, to be a church family that what? Enjoys God, loves one another, and blesses the community. The best thing that I can give you is something that I'm not really that good at. Relying on God. But I'm honest and I'm making that appeal to you today. That often we as pastors, we struggle with that too. We want to see things change and grow and be different. And we try this and that and the other thing. And we just have to say, have thine own way, Lord. Amen? Have thine own way. So the best thing that I can give you as your transitional pastor is that appeal to open your hands and say to God, have thine own way, Lord. We're following you on this journey of faith. And we're not going to be wrapped up in anxiety because of it. Anxiety shrinks the power of the gospel because it presents a false gospel, one of self-reliance rather than reliance on God. So I want to just ask you, do you remember those five practices of bless? We studied them during the Lenten season. They were begin with prayer, listen well, eat together, serve in love, and share your story. Remember? And they spell bless. So the first one is this begin with prayer. Now, I can tell you there's a couple of things that could cause some anxiety this week in the church family here at Mount Joy. Here's one of them. We're going to rejoice that there's over 100 kids registered for Vacation Bible School, right? But that causes some anxiety because there's over 100 kids coming to Vacation Bible School tonight. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. And you know what? Kids like to what? They like to get lost somewhere. They like to leave the group. Certain kids do. And not all 100 kids are, you know, maybe used to being here or used to being at Mount Joy. And so we can get a little bit anxious about that, right? And we can start to worry about that. So I just want to take a couple of minutes, because Vacation Bible School is a great way that the church family here blesses the community around it. You do bless them. But we want Vacation Bible School, and we know lots of people have been praying about Vacation Bible School for a long time, so we're not the first group to pray. But I just want you this morning to pray about Vacation Bible School for a few minutes. And I want you to do this. I want you to pray in groups. I want you just to kind of circle around or scoot around and get into groups of 2, 3, 4 people right now. And I want you to pray this in prayer group, just in any way that you want. Just say hi to each other and then pray this prayer. Lord, remove our anxious thoughts and help us bless our neighbors in freedom and in love and in joy this week, okay? I want you to pray this over your church family, over your neighbors, over Vacation Bible School especially, that it will be a time of freedom, love, and joy, and we won't lose one, okay? At Vacation Bible School. So circle around and just say hi this morning and take a few minutes just to pray that prayer over your church family and Vacation Bible School. Do that right now. So let's all together pray this out loud together. Let's just recite this prayer, starting with Lord. Lord, remove our anxious thoughts and help us bless our neighbors in freedom, in love, and in joy. Amen. Amen. If you have a blessed story, if you've been doing some of the blessed practices in your life and maybe you've mapped them out or you started praying, as some people have told me, they started praying for their neighbors and different things. If you have a story about engaging in those blessed practices, I'm going to ask you to do something. We're going to be asking you over the next couple of months to begin to kind of write down your name and just, I've got a blessed story on our Connect card, and just pass it in, and we'll get a hold of you, because we want to collect those stories. We want people to start hearing the stories about what God's doing through you following up on those blessed practices. So if you have one of those today, just fill that card out. At the end of it, say, I have a blessed story, and we'll get in contact with you in the next week or so and just follow up with you so we can start collecting and hearing each other's stories and be encouraged in those stories. The third thing that Paul says here this morning in Philippians 4 is change your thinking. You can change your thinking when you get in the hammock by resting, by rejoicing that you get to be like Jesus, and by reflecting, and then by resting, okay? And he says this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So this end result of getting into the hammock with God, of rejoicing, of requesting, and of resting, is that we have peace with God. We're calm, we're aware, and we're present with God and with others. Because what's swirling, we've gotten into the hands of God. We're not keeping it swirling around inside of us. In his commentary on Philippians, William Barclay says this: when we pray, we must always remember three things. We must remember the love of God, which ever desires only what's best for us. We must remember the wisdom of God, which alone knows what's best for us. We must remember the power of God, which alone can bring to pass what is best for us. He who prays with perfect trust in the love, wisdom, and power of God will find God's peace. Will find God's peace. So it's not about, when you're praying, it's not about necessarily getting yourself in the right place, right? It's just getting the right posture before God. Because God's the one with the power. He's the one with the love. He's the one with the resources and ability to change the way you think. It's just your posture of getting these things off of your shoulders, you getting into this hammock, you resting in God. But did you know that of all the Ten Commandments, the one that has the most explanation is the one around Sabbath rest? If you look up the Ten Commandments in the Bible, you know, don't do this, don't do this, don't, and keep the Sabbath. And it's got all this explanation about the Sabbath. What to do with the animals on the Sabbath. What to do with your neighbors on the Sabbath. What to do with your servants on the Sabbath. It's got all this instruction about the Sabbath. I wonder if that's because God knew it was going to be really hard for us to rest. I mean, we are worker bees, right? We just, you know, work, 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 work. Last night, my wife and I were working in the yard, then we'd jump in the pool for a while, and we'd work in the yard, and we'd jump in the pool, and we, you know, it comes to 5 o'clock, she's like, we should trim those branches there with the tall trimmer. There we are out there, we've got a ladder up on the tall, not a good combination. A ladder and a tall trimmer, not a good combination. On a hillside, not a good combination. I didn't fall. God was with us. He was blessing us. We were fine. The trees look a lot better this morning. The magnolia can now climb up because the river birches have been set aside, making room for the magnolia to grow. We're worker bees, aren't we? We don't stop. We keep going, and that's what happens in our mind about ministry and life in the church. You know, we don't stop sometimes just to rest in God's hammock. In the book of Hebrews, it says, make every effort to enter into God's rest. Why does it take effort to enter into rest? Because it's hard to get into a hammock. It's hard to stop swirling, to stop working in our mind, right? Amen? It's hard to stop that and to give it over to God. It takes effort to get into the hammock, the place where the weight of your body is safely suspended while you rest and reflect and are refreshed. But it's God's intention for us to rest in Him. The church in Philippi was going through great adversity, and Paul is saying, rest in Him. Rest in Him. Don't try to fight it out and figure it out on your own. Rest in Him. We're going to end our message, part of our worship here this morning, just by doing a little test drive of resting in God by just focusing on one verse of Scripture, Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As we look at this, I want you to do these four things that Nadine found for us. This is this prayer pattern that Nadine found for us. Reciting God's goodness, expressing your neediness to God, seeking His stillness, just being quiet before God, and then trusting His faithfulness, all right? So I'm going to lead you through this as you look at this verse of Scripture. So if you can take us, Neil, back to that verse of Scripture, thank you. As we look at this verse of Scripture, let's just open up our hands before God. Let's open our hands up before Him. It's a sign of a posture that we're open for God. And I want you, as you read this verse slowly, in your mind, recite God's goodness that you see coming out of this verse. And then I want you to express your neediness. Anything that you see coming out of this verse or this morning, just express, Lord, I need you in this way today. Then I want you just to seek God's stillness in this moment. Just be still and know that He is God and you don't have to be. And then the final part, just trust His faithfulness. Thank Him for His faithfulness. And now let's read this out loud and pray it together, this verse. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's read it one more time. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I pray that blessing over you this morning, Mount Joy Congregation. May the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus today. Get into the hammock with Him. Rest in Him. Rejoice in Him. Request from Him. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.